Last Sunday, on the day of Pentecost, if you still remember, we have prayed and shared and dedicated our new mission statement. Do you still remember what our mission statement is? So what I did, I put it in the front of our bulletin. It's going to be in every communications that you will receive from me, so that all of us would keep reminded again and again of the very mission statement. So I invite us all to read again our mission statement. To make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through action in faith. This, along with our core values, were results of more than 3 months of prayerful discernments, holy conferencing, a lot of meetings, conversations. If you all remember, our district superintendent came here 3 times to help us lead the process. And so in light of this, what I've been praying for in the season of Pentecost is that I'm going to do a series of sermons that will further amplify what this mission and core values are. We're going to dive in from the scripture and ground ourselves from the Word of God in terms of understanding deeply what this mission statement and core values are. What they're about, why do we need them, and how can we practically use this mission statement and core values, not just as a guidepost, not just as a compass in the way we are being the church, but as well as applying this in our own day-to-day lives. So as we come this morning, as we hear God's word, let us pray as we invite this continually the Spirit to lead us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. May you speak to us again your solemn word. May I be out of your way. And may the word of God pierce and penetrates in our hearts today. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. The mission of the entire worldwide United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our book of discipline states that we make disciples, and I quote, by proclaiming the good news of God's grace and by exemplifying Jesus' command to love God and our neighbors, thus seeking the fulfillment of God's reign and realm in the world. The fulfillment of God's reign and realm in the world is the vision scripture hold before us. End of quote. This mission statement of the United Methodist Church came from an inspirational word of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew that set forth his mission to us. When he says in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And before that, on Matthew 22, Jesus says this powerful words, you must love the Lord your God with all your hearts, all your minds, and all your soul, and you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. So these are the two biblical foundation of what it means to be the church. And this is also our guiding principle when we frame this mission statement to determine and to articulate what we are about to be as people called Methodists here at Plank Chapel Church. Neil Cole says, and I quote, ultimately, each church will be evaluated by only one thing, its disciples. Your church is only as good as its disciples. It does not matter how good your praise, preaching, program, or property are. If your disciples are passive, needy, consumerist, and not moving in the direction of radical obedience, then your church is not good. End of quote. That's a pretty, very tough words to swallow, right, church? And I must say that the Bible reminds us of this, that we are called to make disciples and not make members. Our purpose is to really make people be like Jesus, to offer Christ. But please don't get me wrong. Membership is very important. In fact, it is vital if we want to thrive and grow as the body of Christ. But membership is not the main thing. It is the result, or actually a bonus. I can tell you, just citing examples, Sam is going to be joining us next Sunday. I believe the prevenient grace of God is already at work when God uses Richard and Frank and Laura and other people in the life of Frank Chapel to be God's instrument in reaching out to him and showing unconditional love and compassion. That's one example of how God is using this church to make disciples. And as a result of that intentionality, he further went one step by acknowledging that I want to be part of this church. But basically, the Bible reminds us that our ultimate goal as a church is to offer Jesus and to be like Jesus. The goal, as what Paul says, is Christ be formed in you. As he says in Galatians chapter 4. To the Roman he declares, those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his Son. And to the Corinthians he says, all of us with veiled, unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed in the same image. In other words, the main goal of us as in Christian life and as the body of Christ can be summarized in this term. We want to be like you, Jesus. We want to be followers of the way, followers of you. So what exactly what it means to be a disciple? We will go journey on this and we will unpack more what the Bible says about discipleship. But this morning, I want to offer you four biblical principles of the importance of discipleship. Because in fact, this is embedded in our mission statement. This is what we are called to do. So what exactly that looks like? First, discipleship is intentional. Can you say that with me, church? Discipleship is intentional. Let's go back again to Acts chapter 2. We notice here this term, they devoted themselves. The Acts 2 church are really very intentional in coming together. They don't always say, oh, I'm busy with a lot of different things. I cannot be there. Oh, it rains, I could not show up. Or I have other things to do. They devoted themselves. That's a pretty, very strong word. Because they practice discipleship with intentionality. They identify who they're going to disciple, who they're going to hang out with. And from then, they devote themselves with passion and energies. Their teachings, coming together, getting to know what the Bible says. See, they're probably meeting during that time in caves because they don't have the big structures like we do it here nowadays in the 21st century church. But during that time, they meet in a very simple dwellings. See, See, intentional discipleship happen in different ways and in different places. As what Nancy just shared, this pastor, Michael Beck, he kind of formed different places like tattoo shops or restaurants or coffee shops as meeting place for intentional discipleship. What if we bring the church outside? What if we hang out and gather in coffee shop and try to bring intentional discipleship there? What if we follow the Acts 2 command or model of identifying friends and trying to reach out to them and trying to build that kind of relationship to them to the point that they will begin to be shared on what it means to follow Jesus? It's sort of like a Paul-Timothy relationships. Paul served as a mentor and guide to the young, inexperienced Timothy, who steadily grew in stature and maturity, eventually joining Apostle Paul, and both of them became partners in ministry. Who do you think that you will mentor? Who do you think that you are seeing within your circle, friends and work, people in your workplace that you can influence? Sort of like Paul and Timothy relationships. Jesus brought this band of ragtag disciples and he discipled them that would turn discipled others. And he was even more intentional with the 3 of the 12. And to make disciples in our churches, we must foster this kind of environments and model Christ's intentionality in making disciples, which leads me to the second point. Not only that discipleship is intentional, but it's also relational. Discipleship happens in relationships. I can tell you my story a little bit. When I was growing up in the Philippines, there's never a moment that they don't invite me to hang out with. On all different stages, there's time in Sundays that I'm gone the whole day. Because after church, we go out and hang out together and eat together and fellowship together and watch movie and friends with the MYF. How many of you have grown up in MYF? Come on, church. You know what MYF, right? And then you come back because we have a Sunday night service. So whole day, it was really all about relationships. We get to know our birthdays. We get to know not just the names of our grandparents, but the story behind that. We begin to kind of mesh together. And that's exactly why the Acts 2 church is a great model of what it means to see discipleship happening in relationships. They devoted themselves in the breaking of the bread and prayers. They are coming together for teaching and fellowship. And we are told here that they learned the scriptures, they learned the prayer, that then the importance of fellowship and the Lord's Supper, all of this happening in the context of relationships. Acts 2 church taught them what it means to build up this discipleship network, not only in terms of structured, but also relational. I don't know if you know about sports, but there is a sports called contact sports. Have you heard that term, contact sports? Phil Maynard says, and I quote, "Discipleship is all about a contact sports. It requires physical contact between each other. There's a power in being together." That's why I love ministries such as The Journey and The Gathering and other ministries that we offer that brings us together. You know, just this morning, the men's ministry talked about the barbecue. I think that's one of the best contact sport that we can offer here at Plank Chapel. One discipleship model that we can see all happening in Christian communities is the formation of small groups. And in my previous churches, we have small groups. And I know that we have small groups right here. We got the choir group. We got the prayer group. We got the women's group. We got the men's group. So those are ways on how God can use relationships in forming disciples, which leads me to the next point. Discipleship is a movement. Listen again to what Acts chapter 2 says. All came upon everyone because of many wonders and signs were being done. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all who had need. And day by day, as they spent time to the table, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. See, church, these first disciples, all of this are part of this God's Pentecost movement. They believe that discipleship is not something that is fixated in one place, but rather they come and they move from different places, both geographically and ethnically, and all these different ways on how they can disciples. And I can imagine how God will use Plank Chapel to break down those barriers of geography, and we can move out and share the gospel of Christ to other places. One amazing thing is happening is our partnership with the fire department. I saw Abner right there. We have built this strong, forged relationship with the fire department. And just imagine how we can be able to continue on that kind of partnership to bring discipleship beyond the doors of this church. And that leads me to the final point. Discipleship is not from our own effort alone, but the God who is able will be with us through his Pentecost Spirit. Last Sunday, we've been reminded that early disciples were all filled with this dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, that they began to speak in other languages, in other tongues, and they were empowered to be bold witnesses. They received that power, and they were able to be God's conduit in changing lives and the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. Church, that same power that was given to the first century church in motion is available to us today. My prayer that we will reclaim this power again and again. This power to be witnesses, this power to share our faith, this power to serve, this power to make disciples, and this power to turn the world upside down. Friends, our ultimate goal is to make disciples. May this be our main goal. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continue to be with us today and forever. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the people of God said, amen.